I awake to darkness, consumed by hunger and pain. My body is injured, my head throbbing. I cannot see anything, not even my own hands. Am I blind? This is how we meet Shori Matthews, though she doesn't yet know her name. Her journey begins with this primal awakening, confused, injured, and driven by instinct alone. When an animal approaches, hunger compels her to seize it, tearing at its throat until it collapses. As Shori explores her surroundings, she discovers her body is covered in scars, and she's nearly bald with an indentation in her skull. Most disturbingly, she has no memory of who she is. Walking downhill from her cave, she finds burned ruins of houses, perhaps once her home. She scavenges clothing, then returns to hunting and burying herself during daylight that burns her skin. On her fourth night of wandering, she encounters Wright Hamlin, a young construction worker who stops to help her. Their meeting proves transformative when she instinctively bites his hand and discovers an overwhelming hunger for his blood. Wright calls her a vampire, though the term means nothing to her. Despite the strangeness, Wright takes her home, naming her Renee, reborn, providing her first sense of identity since awakening. What does it mean to be yourself when you have no recollection of who that self might be? Shori's amnesia serves both narrative and thematic purposes, allowing us to discover this world alongside her while emphasizing how profoundly identity depends on memory and connection to others.
I think I'm an experiment, Shori tells Wright when questioned about her sunlight tolerance. I think I can withstand the sun better than others of my kind. This establishes Shori not as a mere vampire, but as a genetic innovation designed to overcome her species' vulnerabilities. Butler revolutionizes vampire mythology. Rather than supernatural predators, Shori's people, the Ina, are a separate species evolved alongside humans. They form symbiotic relationships beyond predator-prey dynamics. Shori's bite triggers pleasure while creating a chemical bond that makes humans dependent on her, while she requires their blood, a circuit of mutual need. This symbiosis offers benefits: enhanced health, disease resistance, and extended human lifespans. However, complications include addiction to her venom and overwhelming emotional attachment. Their dynamic raises questions about consent. While Wright chooses to stay with Shori, the chemical bond prevents true independence. Haven't we all experienced relationships where mutual need coexists with power imbalances? Butler challenges us to consider ethical relationships across power differences, while acknowledging perfect equality may be impossible in relationships defined by biological asymmetry.
Shori's self-understanding shatters when Yosef Petrescu reveals she's 53 years old despite her childlike appearance. She learns she's Ina, an ancient species living alongside humans for millennia with lifespans reaching half a millennium. Yosef discloses that 78 people died in the fire that destroyed her home, her mother's, sisters, and human family members. The plural mothers introduces her to Ina's social structure, where females live in matriarchal groups separate from males while maintaining relationships with multiple mates. Most profound is learning she's the product of genetic experimentation. Her dark skin comes from human DNA incorporated into her genome, allowing her to stay awake during daylight hours, a significant advantage over other typically pale Ina. At Yosef's community, she experiences Ina society firsthand. The humans greet her with unsettling familiarity while she remembers nothing. Shori must navigate being part of a species she cannot remember, carrying genetic modifications that make her unique yet controversial. Her hybrid status creates a powerful metaphor for mixed race identity and existing between established categories. When Shori and Wright visit Yosef's community a week later, they find it destroyed by fire, just like her mother's community. Among the ashes, Shori discovers where Yosef died in his bedroom. "I collapsed in anguish," Shori recalls, knowing my entire family had been systematically destroyed, likely because of the experiments that gave me my human characteristics. The pattern becomes clear. Someone is methodically eliminating Shori's family and anyone connected to her genetic experiments. Two of Yosef's symbionts, Brooke and Celia, survive, having been away.
They join Shori and Wright at another house Yosef owned, but this refuge proves temporary. Men arrive to burn this house too, forcing Shori to kill several attackers while helping her companions escape. The escalating violence raises the stakes. Shori isn't just seeking understanding, but fighting for survival against enemies determined to eradicate her. The systematic destruction suggests an organized campaign motivated by prejudice against her hybrid nature. This violence poses an ethical question: how to respond without perpetuating it. Shori must kill to protect her group, yet struggles with the implications of balancing justice with mercy. The captured attacker reveals the violence was orchestrated by the Silk family. After finding refuge with the progressive Gordons, Shori participates in a council of judgment where 13 Ina families gather to resolve disputes. During the council, Milo Silk, a 541-year-old elder, exposes their prejudice when his blessing turns contemptuous toward Shori, shouting she's not Ina and has no more business at this council than would a clever dog. Russell Silk later points to Shori's height, 4'11 versus the 5'6 Ina average, as proof her human DNA makes her lesser. The Silks' hatred stems from their belief that Shori's genetic modifications violate Ina purity. Russell declares, "We are not them," insisting Ina should never try to be like humans despite any benefits. When Theodora, Shori's elderly symbiont, is murdered, questioning exposes the Silks' guilt through Alan Silk's body language and inconsistent responses. The council votes to dissolve the Silk family. Later, when Catherine Dahlman ambushes Shori, she kills Catherine in self-defense. The Silks' obsession with racial purity mirrors historical justifications for genocide, making the novel a powerful allegory about racism. Fledgling explores difference through Shori's hybrid nature, part Ina, part human, which makes her both vulnerable to prejudice and uniquely adapted for survival. Her dark skin provides better daylight resistance than pure Ina, while her small stature conceals her 53 years. Societies respond to difference contrastingly. Progressive Ina families value Shori's traits as adaptations for their species' survival. Preston Gordon affirms that Shori will bear strong children, some of whom will walk in sunlight. The Silks, however, embody destructive purism. Their obsession with maintaining an unchanging Ina identity drives them to genocide against Shori's family, rejecting potential benefits for an idealized past. Despite losing her families and memories, Shori demonstrates determination to learn Ina culture and rebuild. She plans to adopt a young female relative and honor her promise to mate with the Gordon brothers. Butler suggests identity isn't merely memory or inheritance, but created through choices and connections. While Shori can't recover her memories, she builds a meaningful life based on present values and future possibilities. Fledgling reminds us that hybrid identities may be our greatest strength. Our ability to exist between worlds might be exactly what's needed to build a future where difference strengthens our collective humanity.